morning. I'm Joy Williams. I'm from Environmental Health Coalition. EHC is a 27-year-old nonprofit environmental health and justice organization in San Diego and Tijuana, focusing largely on land use and air toxics. We're a membership organization of approximately 2,000 members, and we have about 20 people on staff. Our funding comes from foundation grants, our members, and some government grants. We do have an NIEHS environmental justice grant that has funded much of our land use and air quality research on the U.S. side of the border. So my presentation will describe EHC's leadership development program and the role of community action teams in providing leadership for their communities and for Environmental Health Coalition itself. San Diego County is a large county with extremes of wealth and poverty. Environmental Health Coalition works in San Diego's poorest communities, and those are the ones that are dark red on this map. As you can see, the areas with the largest percentage of people of color are consistent with those in the lowest income areas. These are also the communities that have the highest concentrations of toxic pollutants from all sources, large and small industry, the port terminals, and the freeways. We work in four communities of San Diego and Tijuana, Barrio Logan in the north, National City, Chula Vista, and Colonia Chilpancingo in Tijuana. Our work is both issue-based and community-based. Each community we work in has a community action team of community leaders, and I'll show you a few slides to illustrate the environmental justice issues each team is working on. The big issues in Barrio Logan are diesel truck traffic and incompatible land use that allows industries and homes to be side by side in the neighborhoods. Both the large and small industries are sources of pollution, dust, noise, and nighttime operations. Diesel exhaust is a toxic air contaminant linked to cancer, increased asthma, and higher death rates for both infants and older adults. Large industries in this community include the shipyards lining San Diego Bay, which are a source of good jobs, but also heavy metal emissions from welding, sandblasting, and painting of ships. The other major bayfront industry is the cargo ship terminal. Community concerns about the ports are diesel emissions from ships and trucks and safety hazards from trucks driving through the community. Port officials expect cargo volume to double or triple by 2020, but have so far refused to link their maritime growth projections with emission reduction goals. The biggest issues in National City are similar to those in Barrio Logan: land use that mixes homes with large and small industries, and another cargo terminal on the bayfront. Aside from the health risks, there are also public safety risks. What you see here is a picture of one of two toxic fires in the last 3 months that were directly adjacent to homes in National City's Old Town. In the Chula Vista area, shutdown of this antiquated polluting power plant is a priority for residents. The effort to get it replaced with smaller peaker plants in non-residential locations and some renewable energy sources is a major project that's drawn us into regional energy planning and California's climate change initiatives. Colonia Chilpancingo in Tijuana struggles with globalization and lack of basic infrastructure. The maquiladora industries attract workers from all over Mexico, but do not pay enough to cover basic needs. This abandoned battery recycling plant is a poster child for what's wrong with NAFTA and why globalization is an environmental and social justice problem. It's owned by a San Diego business owner. The facility was abandoned, leaving tons of lead and acid waste just uphill from a residential community. The community has worked for a decade to get U.S. and Mexican governments to clean it up, and I'm happy to report that cleanup is finally underway. Under NAFTA, standards of living worsened in San Diego and in Tijuana, and income disparity between the U.S. and Mexico also grew, so that today there is greater income disparity at the U.S.-Mexico border than at any other major commercial border in the world. Environmental Health Coalition's approach to fighting for environmental justice combines research, community organizing, and policy advocacy. The core of our community organizing base is our community action teams. Each of our four communities has a community action team. It's composed of community leaders, and the teams are second only to the board of directors in our membership structure. Community residents who have shown an active interest in land use and toxics issues in their communities are invited to join the CAT teams, as we call them, for their neighborhoods. The teams usually contain about a dozen members. They're volunteers, and they may receive a stipend for expenses such as child care while participating in EHC activities. The teams are recruited and coordinated by the community organizers on our staff. The community action teams provide community involvement, leadership development, and strategy development. The CAT teams meet once a month. The meetings are always in the evening. We always provide child care. We have dinner provided normally, and the meetings are in Spanish or translation is provided. In addition, CAT members are strongly encouraged to participate in our popular education program called SALTA, which is an acronym for Salud Ambiental Líderes Tomando Acción, or Environmental Health Leaders Taking Action. If you know Spanish, you realize that also has a connotation of leaping forward. Saltar is to jump. Our SALTA program provides a forum for education and empowerment. The trainings are the foundation of our empowerment process. It is a popular education-based curriculum. It's not a lecture format. It's not heavy on reading. It's participatory, kinetic, visual, theatrical, and based on people's own history and narrative. The core SALTA program is about improving critical skills of leaders to organize and advocate towards realizing our stated goals. And it includes topics such as community organizing, advocacy, voter empowerment, and power analysis. How does the training play out? For example, we may do a turn the office into a pretend street and practice door knocking, and then get back together and reflect. In addition to the core SALTA curriculum on leadership development, each CAT member goes through an issue-specific SALTA, which improves their knowledge about what's going on in their community and prepares them to discuss and develop a vision, educate and organize their neighbors, and ultimately to advocate to decision makers. Issue-specific SALTAs have included training on land use, air toxics, lead contamination, and energy. We do have an evaluation portion of the SALTAs, which is qualitative. It does sound to me like the evaluation that Peggy described is probably more qualitative, and I hope you took good notes on that. It seems like a good model. One of the primary roles of CAT teams is to engage the community and identify community leaders. Community organizing by door knocking involves a set of skills that we practice in the core SALTA training. And conducting community health surveys has also been a valuable source of information, as well as an organizing tactic. For example, in our National City Community Survey, staff collaborated with leaders to create a 56-question survey to gauge the Old Town community's priorities and opinions on key controversial issues. For most of our leaders, this was the first time in the community talking to residents about political issues. The survey results were turned into a report, and we found the survey to be an invaluable tool. The process empowers leaders to discuss issues and raise awareness amongst their neighbors, and it plays a huge role in legitimizing our demands. When these leaders call for affordable housing or relocation of auto body shops or more park space, they have concrete numbers to back it up. In both Barrio Logan and National City, CAT team members are participating in community land use planning. The goals are to move smaller industries such as platers and auto body shops out of the residential community and into industrial zones, and to provide for affordable housing, recreational space, safe streets, and other community needs. The CAT leaders also participate in policy making processes by giving testimony at public hearings and participating in meetings with public officials. The CAT members also conduct research in the form of environmental sampling, as well as doing community health surveys. these residents are using ultrafine particle counters, which we've used in all four of our communities, and it allows you to collect data that's very useful in the struggle to reduce diesel pollution in the community. When you can simultaneously get ultrafine particle counts in a polluted community and down at City Hall where the decision makers are sitting, and you can show them, you know, here's what you're breathing and here's what they're breathing in this community where you're proposing to put another polluting industry, or for example. Our youth apprentice program provides outreach to high school and college age youth who are also invited to join the CAT team for their community. So we've opted to try and integrate the youth into our adult CAT teams rather than have a separate youth program. So that's the direction we're taking for now. Youth have been especially active in our voter empowerment program. Some of our recent victories, including changing truck routes through Barrio Logan, shutting down a chrome plating shop that was in that community. We managed to stop fumigation with methyl bromide at the Port of San Diego. We've obtained funding for updating community plans in Barrio Logan and National City. And we've gotten started on the cleanup of Metales y Derivados, which was that battery recycling plant in Tijuana. So that cleanup is now in progress. In summary, effective social change requires an informed and active community. Our CAT and SALTA approach is a model that does integrate research, organizing, and advocacy for environmental health and social justice. And I think I got done a little bit early, but we allow more time for questions. They're not on salary, they're not staff, but we pay stipends for people to participate in activities where they're going to need child care or are going to have mileage costs. We do reimburse for that. Then each of the CAT teams is a place where we're developing leaders that will be invited eventually to join our board of directors. So our goal is to have 50% of our board of directors be people who are residents of our communities, and the CAT teams are the primary place where we're looking, you know, for the residents to become board members. And then the relationship with staff, it's our staff, community organizers who are primarily recruiting the CAT team members, and they lead the CAT team meetings. And then the SALTA trainings have been developed on staff, and it's a combination of staff and CAT team members who are doing, actually, you know, presenting the material and leading all the activities. Just that. Hi. Changing what? The decision makers on the surface street truck routes is the city of San Diego. So that's, you know, where we were putting our political pressure. And it was useful to have the ultrafine particle counts for that and other data on air quality that we've gotten through our NIEHS partnership with USC. So we're going to them with information on the relationship between toxic air contamination and asthma and other respiratory illness, you know, from researchers with credentials, you know, the academic people. And then we also have the truck counts that we've taken ourselves, and we also have the community residents, you know, presenting to city council about their family's own health. And with all those together, I think, you know, we've been able to push the debate towards getting the trucks off the surface streets. It took a while for them to agree to do it, and then to actually put up the signs and start enforcing it. And then the last step has been to get some street improvements that were needed so trucks could get to the freeway by another route. There was some street improvements that needed to happen. So that's how we did that. And I don't know how much harder it would be to work with a transportation agency. We haven't done that. But I think it would be a similar process, though. You need the data and you need the community backing you. Yeah, we end up putting out our information in a variety of formats, where we may have the multi-page report for the decision makers, and then more like, you know, the one-page fact sheet for the community. As far as using the web, I think that's been more limited for our community. I think the most recent thing I've heard about that is that many of our residents do have computers, but it's the kids who know how to use them, not the adults. So another argument for reaching out to kids, I guess. Yeah. There's really no substitute for the face-to-face contact, though, the personal contact. I mean, it's labor-intensive, but it's really the core of what we're doing is building relationships. Being in the community and, you know, every way we can, and, spotting the people who are continuing to come to our events, will be invited to join a CAT team or just, you know, start coming to meetings. And so it's kind of word of mouth. We're not doing any other forms of recruitment. Is that what you wanted to know? Okay. Meredith?
Ahead.
They're one of the they're the academic research partner in our environmental NIEHS Environmental Justice Grant, but they're not in San Diego, so they've given us very valuable help in the form of sharing their research that they're doing on children's health throughout Southern California. You know, looking studying air quality and toxics. So they've been valuable technical assistance for us in looking at the pollution levels in our communities and putting that together with their research so that we can give the community accurate information on, you know, what are the levels of pollution, what are the important pollutants, you know, that we should be focusing on, and what can we say about that in terms of what does that mean for health. And then they've also, you know, they're the source of the air sampling equipment, the ultrafine particle counters. You know, we've gotten on loan from them. And we haven't used them directly in the SALTIS. They have come a couple of times and talked to public officials, which is, you know, a time when it's really useful to have those academic credentials in your corner. Okay, take your word on that. EHC started working on the issue of toxic waste in the communities in the early 80s. That's kind of where we started. And we pretty quickly went from there towards trying to be more proactive and look at the land use patterns that are putting toxics in the same neighborhoods with homes and schools. Okay, somebody can count. We have one Superfund site in San Diego County, and it's on the Marine base at Camp Pendleton. So we're not dealing real directly with Superfund. We have worked on some of the restoration advisory boards that the Navy has to clean up their toxic waste sites. So that's one place where we've continued to work on that. And we worked in the 80s on household hazardous waste, and we're the ones who really got our program started in San Diego County. But at this moment, it hasn't been a big part of our work.
So
as an organization, I mean, we work in coalitions with other progressive organizations in San Diego. So the CAT teams are included in that. As entities, the CAT teams aren't, you know, having formal relationships with other organizations. Does that answer your question? We might do presentations for them. We would meet with their members maybe individually and, you know, share information. We, of course, would be mobilizing everyone we can when it's an important, you know, city council meeting or something where we need to turn out community support.